Hello there. Do you like real-life historical tales? If so, have I got the perfect podcast for you? My name is Alice, and I host the Backtracker History Show. Based in the UK, this self-confessed geek takes you for a stroll down memory lane and shares stories and interesting nuggets of information that has been discovered along the way, from tales of tragedy and sadness to epic stories of human courage or creativity. There are many people in history who have made their mark, however small. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts, and remember to leave a rating or review if you can. If you want to find out more, you can get in touch with me via Twitter or Facebook using @BacktrackerUK with a capital V, capital T, and a capital UK. But until then, take care, guys, and look after each other.
Welcome to a new episode of My Drunk Movie Theater. I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And Laura Lynn's with us again. Yes, I know. Doggone it. Can't even get started on my show. Yeah, we can't even get started on the show. Anyway, so last night was a lot of fun.
One way to put it.
Yeah. Well, for me, I was just sitting here going, really? We had a tornado warning blow through the area last night, and
at 1:30 in the morning.
Yes, and that's how you know you live in the Midwest. So, I literally just got home from work when it came through. I was sitting there checking the weather, like, all right, I've had kind of a rough night. I just want to sit on my porch, have a cigar, glass of whiskey, sit with my dog, and just chill for a little bit before this wee one wakes up and I have to feed her and then I get to go to bed. So that didn't happen. I literally got my cigar lit for like two drags before my phone goes off with the tornado warning and sirens start going off. And I'm going, I feel like any other person that's sitting outside, maybe not here in the Midwest, but anywhere else, someone would go, holy shit, we got to get inside. We got to get to the basement. I just immediately just sit there and go, God damn it. Stub out the cigar, chuck it into the yard, walk inside, look at my wife who's half asleep and go, we got to go to the basement. Tornado warning. Let's go. Grab little bits here who handled it really well, didn't you? Yeah, you handled it pretty well. Real fussy. We woke you up, but we got you back to sleep. So, but yeah, you guys had a totally different experience because you were actually closer to the storm.
Yeah. We were both asleep. I woke up. My phone didn't really go off. There was warnings popped up, but it wasn't making any noise. I'm lucky enough that my bed is up against the windows and our complex is close enough to the sirens that I could hear it. And that was the first thing I noticed when I woke up. I'd only been asleep for maybe an hour. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, there are sirens going off, but there's nothing happening outside. Well, this is not good. So I was trying to look at the radar on my phone when you texted. Mm-hmm. I was like, are you guys awake? I was like, Megan's not. So we went back and forth a bit before you were finally like, yeah, you should probably go wake her up. It's bad.
Yeah.
So woke her up. I had to force my cat into her carrier, which was not a fun experience.
No.
Stuck her in the bathroom. And we kind of were moving back and forth between the hallway and our outside the bathroom by our rooms and walking over and looking outside. Mm-hmm. And we went from like 0 to 100 in no time. Like it was dry, it was quiet, it was not windy. And mm-hmm. within 30 seconds, like you could not see a foot outside the window for all the wind and the rain and whatnot. And that's when you told me that there was reports of a tornado spotted. There is a high school literally just north of us, and there was reports of a tornado north of that school. So we were like, oh, that's fun. At one point, Megan wandered over to the door to open it because our apartment opens to the outside. Mm-hmm. But she opened it just to kind of see. And we heard a noise. She shut the door. We decided not to open it again. And now I'm guessing this morning she left for work and noticed that the wooden gate, fence, whatever you want to call it, on one of the dumpster areas had been ripped off. So I'm wondering if that was the noise we heard.
Yeah.
But we kind of hung out for a while until it finally passed. But
yeah,
it took a while though before the adrenaline came down enough to go to bed.
Yeah, we wound up talking to you because we called each other back and forth because you, I'm calling you out on this show to make sure that you actually go and do what I told you to do. You don't have an antenna for local TV. And I've got everything on Hulu. So I also need to do the same thing just in case of an emergency.
I know there's an app on our Roku for local stuff, but I don't know how much that would have helped, to be honest.
We had everything on Hulu Live, so it was working fine. Mm-hmm. A lot better than that damn satellite does at work. So in the middle of the I acknowledge I need to go get a digital antenna too, just for situations like this. But you definitely need to. So we stayed up. I kept in touch with you guys to let you know, this is what they're saying. Looks like it's moving out, like we're good. Yeah. So with it being north of that high school, it is, which that also means it was just north of our theater too.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting here going, man, I am so glad that this building.
That was the other half of my complaint. I finally got to bed, and then at 6 a.m., the security company that monitors the theater called me. And I had about half a thought to go, no. And I rolled back over and went back to bed. I was like, screw this. Because I know from, again, been a manager in this building for 11 years. I know that they're basically going to be, and they called again later this morning when I was awake and I actually answered. And she very nicely was like, we're calling about this theater, we're getting an alert from the fire system, I'm guessing it was just the storm, but we wanted to let you know. And I'm like, I know that's exactly what it is, and I know there's nothing going on, especially since the building at the time she called me, someone was in the building, and no word of anything going wrong. So I'm like, we're fine. I don't want to talk to you at 6 o'clock in the morning just to go, okay, thanks, and roll over and go to bed. No.
Yeah.
I'm sure they hate us though, because I know none of us ever answer whenever they call us.
Yeah, but. It was just one of those. Like I said, once we got the all clear, Crystal said, I'm going to bed. Y'all have, I said, fine. She and I, because I was trying to get this little one back to sleep anyway. So she wound up falling asleep on my chest and while I was watching Bob's Burgers, because nothing else sounded good and I've been binge watching it. So, it was definitely an interesting night. Like I said, I am very thankful that it waited until after I got home, because I really didn't want to be the only person closing last night and have to get everybody crammed into a theater and have everything get shut off on me. That's not my idea of a good time.
Yeah. So, I know there's reports of people in our city losing power, but I never did.
Yeah, we didn't either. I actually had a power surge yesterday morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, before the day even got going. So, which is weird. Hold on. Guys, hey, no, we do not need your entertainment. Knock it off. Come on. Anyway, so that was last night. In addition to last night, we were also super swamped. I don't know that we've done over 1,000 people on a Tuesday night in a minute.
Probably last Tuesday.
Probably.
But that was because of the holiday weekend and a blockbuster movie.
Right. Well, that blockbuster movie keeps on trucking. We're going to talk about it here in a little bit. It's story time. We've got stories. And Trisha, I'm going to let you lead off, because this story... I've been laughing about it since you texted us and told me about it. Care to go ahead?
Yeah. Okay. So where do I even start? So this was this past Sunday. One of our managers was manning the bar, and he had a woman come up and sit at the bar, ordered a drink, was chatting with him. I eventually remembered that I had seen them come in, and it only stood out because it was kind of an odd group, because this woman was a young Black woman, probably 25 to 30 would be my guess. Mm-hmm. And who two teenage boys that I found out later were her nephews, and an old white man, and I'm talking like 75, 80 year old. And I remember watching her walk across the lobby with him to get their drinks. And she was like arm in arm with him. So I'm like, does he need help walking? Like, what's going on there? This is kind of odd, but whatever. Not my business. Let it drop. So she sits at the bar. I see him come over and kind of say something. And then he goes into his movie. She's just sitting there chatting with our bartender. Don't think anything of it until he calls me down and says she wants to talk to me. And I'm like, okay, yeah, he's a new manager, but he has managerial experience. And he generally handles everything that anyone throws at him. Maybe he'll come ask my opinion or on something, but I'd never known him to be like, hey, go talk to this customer. So I was like, this is weird. So I go down there and she just starts going on and on about how great he is. And she just want to let me know. And he's just fantastic. And I'm very quickly realizing that she'd had some to drink before she got there, because the one shot of Patron that she'd ordered was not enough to make her sound like this. So I was like, okay, she's already kind of hammered. She makes a comment about only being tipsy, and I'm like, oh yeah, sure, whatever you say, whatever, figuring out my problem. I'm not bartender. I trust him to handle it. I walk away. Well, she sits there for a while. I'm like, aren't you supposed to be in a movie? Like, it's just, she was starting to get kind of annoying, and I could tell he was kind of annoyed too, but he wants the tip, so he's gonna be nice. I get called down at another point, probably 20 minutes later. And at this point, it is roughly 3 o'clock. We had our premium large format showing of Top Gun starting at 4. And so we were kind of gearing up for that, trying to get popcorn pop, trying to get ready. Our floor crew happened to be behind the stand because they had a break in shows and they'd been helping. And so we had a lot of people behind the counter. And she starts talking. She calls me down. She starts talking about, well, I'm trying to steal him away and you just have so much staff and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, we have a big movie about to start. So we're getting ready for that. And she's like, yo, you think? I think. I know. So I straight up just walked away at that point. She may have said my name again. I don't know. I walked away. And at one point she went to the bathroom and I called over the manager and that was the bartender was helping her. And I was like, you're not still serving her, are you? And he goes, okay. The guy had come back. And he said, the guy asked him if he was comfortable serving her one more drink, because and this is when he told me that the old man was paying for it. He said, the guy asked, are you comfortable serving her one more? Said bartender apparently was like, depends. Is she driving? He said, no, I am driving. And he said, okay, one more is fine. And this is when he goes, I think he might be her sugar daddy. And I'm like, what? He goes, well, I mean, he's paying for everything. I was like, is he tipping you? He goes, oh yeah, he's tipping me well.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I could buy that. That would explain it. Again, not judging, whatever. So she comes back from the bathroom. She continues chatting with us more. Eventually he comes back out. She goes into the movie with him. And that was the last we see of her. And so we were kind of chatting about, he goes, yeah, she was kind of annoying, but he was tipping well. So that's why I was being nice, indulging her, whatever. We were kind of chuckling about it. Well, then that's when I texted you guys. And I was just like, this lady may have been annoying, but this is kind of funny. Whatever.
Yeah.
So then the movie gets out and we see the guy walk out to the parking lot alone. And I kind of look at bartender and he looks back at me and we're like, did you see her with him? Both of us are like, no, he better not have lied about her driving. Well, then he comes back in. We're like, okay. And he walks over to the bar. And I'm like, so help me. If this guy comes up and goes, I can't find her, I'm going to lose my shit. But no, he walks up. He looks right at the bartender and he goes, thank you. Well, oh, yeah, no problem. He goes, it's so hard having your wife and your girlfriend in the same movie. And he walks away. And he and I just look at each other like, Did he just say wife and girlfriend? What?
Yeah.
We're just like, I don't even know what to think right now. About that time, one of the frontliners needed money for their drawer. So I went to the office to get money. And as I was walking back, I happened to look up towards the doors and I see this dude. Now, this dude is highly noticeable because he's wearing literally like a highlighter yellow shirt with black suspenders. Like, you know who this dude is. So I see him talking to what I'm presuming to be the wife, because she looks to be about his age, but she has a cane and an oxygen tube. I only saw her from the back. So I'm like, does this dude have a girlfriend because his wife is sick? Because that's a little, don't like that. But yeah, it was just, and we were just sitting there like, how are you supposed, I'm glad he walked away, because how are you even supposed to respond to that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, when you text us that part of it, I couldn't help it. I started laughing. I like literally was cackling when I read it. And I'm like, oh my God.
We did eventually once the shock wore off.
Yeah. No, so I'm sitting here going, yeah, that old man is living his best life at this point. Like that's all there is to it. Like if you are that ballsy to be slutting around and taking your wife and your girlfriend to the same movie at the same time, I'm going.
And we're sort of like, do they know about each other? Like, surely they know about each other. Surely he wouldn't bring them both to the same movie if they didn't know about each other.
Right. So that begged a lot of questions. So like, you brought up a good point. It could be that, you know, wife's too feeble, knows that he knows his needs, blah, blah, blah. You know, and so she knows and she's okay with it at that point. Cool. We
write if all off. Parties are have consented and are willing and are okay with it, I don't care what you do.
Right. So it's either that or you know, she's not okay with it and he's just doing it because he can. He's got the money and he knows she's not leaving. Like, whatever. I don't agree with it, but it's not my place to judge either, because like I said, we don't know the situation.
Yeah.
My guess right out the gate would have just been sugar daddy, sugar baby situation, which is still what this absolutely could be. Yeah. It's just he's feeling bold enough to take her with the wife. I think the wife has to know. Like, surely she knows. Like, there's
right.
I can't get past the audacity of bringing your lover to the same movie with your spouse.
Right. That's what I couldn't get past. And the fact that he just announced it so blatantly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's either that or he's just fucking with us and she's like his adopted daughter or something. But if
Nope. See, bartender said he saw them kiss. Okay. I guess I forgot to mention that, but yeah, okay, bartender said he saw them kiss and he felt super awkward about it.
Yeah, it is what it is. Yeah, I like said, so we can rule that out. Yeah. So
yeah, because that was my thought. Like, okay, some sort of adopted family or you know, friend of the family, a neighbor that, you know, knows that she needs some help and helps her out, likes to, you know, take her and her nephews out and have some fun, whatever. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, then bartender is like, yeah, they kiss. Oh, okay.
More power to them. Like I said, it's not my place to get involved, get to judge, whatever. Like, may not agree with it, but it ain't my life. I'm not living it. So
yeah.
That's kind of the way I look at it. So I'm gonna have to tell my granddad about that one, because I guarantee you he'll laugh his ass off and go, oh hell no, I'd never do that. Or he'd probably go, actually, I probably would do that, knowing him. So yeah, that's pretty fucking wild. So yeah, well, so we go from fun customers to dumbass customers, because boy howdy do I get my share this week. I've got two. We'll go with the most recent one from, I think that was, yeah, from Monday night.
That sounds right.
Yeah, so this guy, he comes in for one of the later showings of Top Gun and with his son. So he's trying to pull up his tickets and he's muttering something about liberty and whatnot. And I'm going, okay, brought to the wrong theater or whatever. I'll just get him sorted. But he's not being real clear. His son orders some food. Finally finds his email. So I go, okay. So I scan up his ticket or tickets. And they're for our theater. They're for the night before for our late show. And I go, okay, so we need to get you some new tickets or you're going to see it again. Because again, he's not being real clear as to what he wants, what he needs, what's going on. So I ring him up 2 tickets for the next show of Top Gun. And he goes, okay, and so that ticket I gave you is good towards this? And I go, no, it's for last night's show. And he gets real fucking indignant, saying, well, this is just ridiculous. And then finally explains that he'd driven up to Liberty the night before after buying tickets for our theater, thinking that he had got tickets for their theater. And it had not explained. And so, yeah, just saying that I can't run a business like this, that, and the other. And I'm just sitting there going, you didn't explain shit, sir. Like he's cussing at me. And I just finally go, sir, 2 things. First off, you're not going to talk to me like that. Secondly, it sounds like you bought tickets to the wrong theater. And instead of just having them swap you up there or get you what you needed up there, you decided to come down here tonight to watch the movie. Am I correct? Well, yeah. And I go, okay, honest mistake. It happens. Let me get you 2 new tickets for tonight and send you on your way. No apology. No thank you. Just snatched his tickets and walked off. His son did appreciate it and said, thank you. I really appreciate it. Sorry about him. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, you're not the problem. Like, I'm just doing my job.
Your children are apologizing to people on your behalf. Maybe you need to rethink your actions.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's the best part, too, is as I was waiting for theaters to clear out Monday night, they were the first 2 out of the theater. And again, no apology, no thank you, nothing, prick. So anyway, so yeah. So, but that brings up my point. If you have an issue, instead of just mumbling under your fucking breath, explain very clearly to the staff member or the manager what has happened and what you are trying to get. I'll be more than happy to accommodate you if you actually speak and don't wrong theater, blah, blah, blah. Just enunciate, be polite, tell me what you want, what you need, or what happened. And I will problem solve it for you. I hate doing everybody else's thinking for them, but I will do what I have to do to make you happy and get you the fuck out of my way so that way I can close up my building for the night.
Right.
Easy enough. So that's dickhead number 1. Dickhead number 2. My baby's falling asleep, slumped over. Yeah. Dickhead number 2. Okay. This guy, I think that might have also been Monday. Or maybe it was earlier or late last week. I can't remember. Either way, this guy. So we have, if as you've seen, Top Gun, big movie for the last 2 weekends, and it's available in every format you could possibly think of, IMAX, premium large format, ScreenX, MX4D, 4XD, whatever. Anyway, it is available every possible way you could see it. It's probably available 3D somewhere, right? So we've got it on our premium large format screen, all right? We boast DTS:X sound, which is supposed to be state of the art. It's loud. It's clear. It's supposed to put you right in the middle of the movie, right?
Okay. Yeah, we advertise that this theater has the sound system.
Yes, and it's good. It's really good. I like it. So, anyway, and mind you, I don't know you guys listening. You're probably aware, but just be safe. Top Gun Maverick is about fighter pilots. It's about fighter jets. And I don't know if you've been around a fighter jet or even just a jumbo jet or an airplane of any sort. Motherfuckers are loud.
Yes.
Okay. So if you're going to see a movie about them, an action movie, no less, where there is actual aerial combat featured,
it's going to be loud.
It's going to be loud, especially in a DTS:X theater. So trailers had started. Now, I will admit, the trailers in this auditorium, when they play louder than the movie itself. And it's not the only theater like that, but it's especially
noticeable. It's more noticeable.
Yeah.
In this one.
And it's not uncommon for us to get that complaint. Hey, it's really loud. Okay, well, it just started the trailers. Once the movie starts, if the sound is just too loud, then come and let me know. This person complained 3 times before he finally ran into me. Three times I went upstairs and adjusted the volume down to its lowest possible setting contractually. And I mean that in every sense of the word, contractually. We have studio contracts. We have a contractual obligation to keep the volume at a certain level to keep with the full-fledged experience of the feature film that you're going to see.
Also, keep in mind, this theater is basically full, and he is the only one complaining about the sound. So why would we crank down the sound and risk pissing off everyone else in the theater just to appease this one dude?
Yes. So, again, I have adjusted this volume three times, and I've got it down to its lowest setting. The fourth time, he finally he comes and knocks on the manager door. And I'm going, are you shitting me? Like, I'm thinking it's an employee, right? So I open the door, and it's this dude. And he goes, yeah, I'm over here in this theater, and it's just really loud. I'm like, yeah, I've adjusted the volume down to the lowest possible setting. So there's nothing else you can do? No, like, I'm contractually obligated to keep it at that level or above. Like, there's literally nothing I can do. And I said, as far as I know, you're the only person who's complained. And so he goes, well, it's so loud, it's not even comfortable. It's not even fun. I can't even enjoy the movie. And I'm going, sir, if you'd like, I can switch you to a different showtime, to a regular auditorium that's not near as loud. I said, the movie's going to be loud regardless. I said, usually it's the trailers that are louder, but I said, I acknowledge this movie is loud. And he goes, well, I'll just come get a refund after the movie. And I go, sir, that's not going to work. Like, if you want a refund or to swap, it has to be before we hit the 30-minute mark of this movie. Mm-hmm. And he just insisted he was going to get a refund after me. I'm like, you do you, baby. No, you ain't getting one. Like, you in for a rude awakening. I told him, I'm like, if you really want, we can just swap you to a different show, get you a refund, whatever the difference is at this point in time. And he goes, well, my daughters are in there and they're really excited to see this. And I'm going, not much else I can do. I've given you your options. Like, nothing else. Don't know if he ever came back or not. Don't care. But, like, I'm sitting there. When I tell you something, I'm not telling you because I don't want to go fix your problem. I'm telling you, I've already tried fixing your problem three times, and it's obviously not good enough. I'm now giving you another solution. The only other solution after that is for you to leave the movie altogether and get your refund then. But you have to get it before we hit that 30.
But you don't get to watch the entire thing and then get a refund. That's not how this works.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was one of those. I'm like, really, guy?
It's like going to a restaurant, eating the entire meal, and then when the bill comes, being like, you know, I didn't like it. I don't want to pay. That's not how this works. Yeah. Or it was wrong. I don't want to pay.
We have frequently stated on this show, if you go to a football or basketball game or baseball game, and you sit through the entire game and they lose and you're not happy about it, you don't get a refund on it.
Nope.
You don't. It's, you know, it is what it is. Unlike those places, here you get 30 minutes into the movie to determine whether or not you like it or you're enjoying the experience enough to either swap or get a refund and leave.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just sitting there. I was just baffled. I'm like, you were complaining about the volume on an action movie about fighter jets.
Yes.
That's what I could not fathom. I'm like,
in an auditorium that advertises its sound system.
Yes. And that's what I told him. I said, that is part of the big appeal of this auditorium is the sound system. So yes, you get the giant picture and all that. It's supposed to be comparable to IMAX. I said, it is all these things, but it's going to be louder. It is part of the experience there. And if that's not your bag, don't buy to that auditorium.
Yeah. Agreed.
Period. So, but yeah, that's it for my dickheads for the week. Did you have any others you needed to share with us?
I did have a lady that tried to bring a picture of a ticket and then got mad at me when I would, like, almost in tears when I wouldn't let her in.
I'm sorry, what?
So our website went down, and this woman who apparently lives 40 minutes away from us decided the solution, without clearing it with a manager, was to have her friend come in the night before, purchase her ticket for her, and then send her a picture of it. And she kept claiming she was told it was fine, but I talked to both you and Megan, who were the two managers at the time, working at the time that the ticket was purchased, and neither of you gave the okay. So I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that.
No.
She was tearing up before she finally left, demanded our district manager's email, and left.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, I wouldn't... I wouldn't tell anybody that unless it was like, I wouldn't tell anybody that without notifying the next manager on whose shift it's going to be on.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
And I told her, I was like, if you would have talked to a manager or your friend would have talked to a manager and gotten that cleared with them, mm-hmm. and they would have okayed that, it would have been fine. But you didn't. You didn't clear with anybody. Right. No one who has the power to do that. No. It was not cleared by any manager in the building. It was not cleared by anyone above me. Mm-hmm. So I cannot do it. And at one point she goes, this is the hill you're going to die on. I can't accept a picture of a ticket.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what's going to stop someone from buying one ticket and just sending pictures to all their friends? Right. They kept being like, well, it's a signed seat. Okay. And yeah, what's going to stop people from just sitting in an empty seat and getting away with it?
Yeah. So
I even offered her a popcorn coupon for the trouble. The husband had actually bought new tickets. And I even said, I will charge you child price.
Mm-hmm.
And I offered her a free popcorn.
Yeah.
I said, those are within my power to do, but I cannot accept a picture of a ticket. I have to have the actual ticket. And she was not okay with that. And so they left.
Wow. Yeah. People are silly. Yeah. I don't like, the only time I tell people that to send their friend a picture of the tickets for when they is when they're seeing this movie the same day. And it's because they got somebody meeting them there and they're trying to get to the movie and they're going to be late. Like, yeah. At that point, I'll be like, send them a picture of it, tell them to come see me, et cetera. Yeah, and I specifically say, come see me.
But that's because you've already gotten the physical ticket.
Exactly. So,
and you know they're coming. And yeah. you know the entire situation beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so, like I said, I wouldn't just say that to a next day kind of thing. And I definitely wouldn't do it without notifying you guys. So...
Yeah, and if they were to talk to you, I know you guys probably would have written her name on the ticket, put it in an envelope, stashed it, and told me what was going on, and then I could have gotten her the ticket when they showed up. But they decided not to clear it with anybody with power. They just decided this on their own and did it, and then she was surprised when I said, I'm sorry, that's against policy. We don't do that.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to do a quick review of Top Gun Maverick, although I feel like at most everybody's seen it at this point. We do have some box office news to discuss with that. And then we've got to talk about Scream 6 and some casting news going on with that. So stick around.
It's the Dad in a Rock podcast. This is Sean.
And this is Chris.
Join us every week as we give you the dad's point of view on pop culture.
And stumbling our way through fatherhood. Dad jokes.
Star Wars.
Streaming.
Tech news.
Movie news.
Listen to lifelong pals tell stories from past and present.
Cruise with us into the cheesy every week on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and other podcast platforms.
And as always, find past episodes and links to our social media pages on dadinarock.com.
All right, we're back. So, Top Gun, the big movie, or Top Gun Maverick, excuse me, Top Gun being the original. I have to get all technical now. So I had to be the kid at the sleepover. Anyway, Top Gun Maverick is the, there's your John Mulaney reference for the week. Top Gun Maverick.
I get at least one in every episode.
Right? So Top Gun Maverick, top movie of the week, 2 weeks in a row. So let's hit the notes on this. So box office wise, it's actually Tom Cruise's biggest opening ever, which actually surprised the hell out of me. It did set the new record for Memorial Day weekend openings at 156 million. The previous winner of that was Pirates of the Caribbean 3 back in 2007, way back when we started at this theater.
That was one of my first weekends.
That was that was within my first month and a half there. So wow, fond memories. It's great just getting to go back.
I think that was my second weekend there.
Yeah.
Shrek 3 the previous weekend being the first.
My God. Yeah, let's talk about real quick. We're going to go off the rails here. The May, like the whole summer of 2007 was the summer, it was the summer of trilogy cap sequels, like Spider-Man 3. And this is just May. Spider-Man 3, Shrek the Third, Pirates of the Caribbean at World End. Almost back to back to back. I think we had like a 1 week gap between Spider-Man and Shrek. So the rest of the summer was Ocean's 13, Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer, which is not a trilogy capper. It's just a straight up sequel. Bourne Ultimatum. Like it was just like,
yeah,
every week. I'm like, oh my God. So I think Ratatouille also came out that year. Yes, it did.
I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. Ratatouille came out that year. The following year is Wall-E, because I bitched that didn't make the best picture cut with the Dark Knight. Anyway, off track. So yeah, so this movie at $156 million Memorial Day weekend opening sets the new record by about $3 million. If you're not a fan of Tom Cruise, I'm not a Tom Cruise as a human being. I'm not a fan of him. I feel like
that's well established on the show.
Yeah, and it's
between you and me.
Yes. Tom Cruise as an actor and a performer and an entertainer all damn day. Like I have not, there are very, very there. I think there's only one movie that he's done that I absolutely cannot stand. And it's War of the Worlds. It's like the one movie I just do not like, which is amazing. Cause it's him and Spielberg, and they'd already done one movie before that in Minority Report. And that's one of my favorite science fiction movies. So anyway, So Tom Cruise has put together a pretty broad filmography up until like the last decade and a half. Used to be he did a healthy mix of dramas and action-y kind of movies. A lot more dramas, it seemed like, when he was coming up, because you had Rain Man, you had Jerry Maguire, you had Eyes Wide Shut, Vanilla Sky. But then he also had movies like the original Top Gun, Days of Thunder, Minority Report, I already mentioned, War of the Worlds. There was Night and Day back in 2010. And of course, the Mission Impossible franchise. Now, here lately, it's just been the Mission Impossible franchise that we've seen.
There's also that one movie about like the day repeating itself that everyone
got the title wrong.
Yes. Yes. I always forget the title because everyone called it by its tagline.
What was it, like Kill, Die, Repeat or something like that?
Live, Die, Repeat.
Live, Die, Repeat. That's what it was. So it's been a lot more action movie, which is amazing because this man is now 62. I think 59 or 62. Either way, he's old. He still looks good for his age. Like I discussed this with my dad and my uncle, and I just looked at them both because they're 52 and 48 respectively. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at them and I go, because they're going, oh, he's finally looking old. I'm sitting there going, he still looks better than you two schmucks. Like, you know, it's just now he's finally showing his age. And I feel like what's finally hit him is the weight of the world that he put on himself while shooting Mission Impossible 7. Because if you watch the trailer for Dead Reckoning there, that's when you go, huh, he's finally starting to look it. So he hit a whole new landmark.
To be fair, dyeing your hair goes a long way.
That's fair too. So Botox, I mean, when you've got money, you can make yourself look as young as you possibly can for as long as you possibly can. But he's just done it like that much better than a lot of people.
Like my dad has a full head of gray hair and people still don't believe his age. Can you imagine if he dyed it?
Yeah.
People would probably believe that he was a good 20 years younger than he actually is.
Right. So anyway, so yeah, so had that huge opening. The second weekend had a pretty small drop in comparison to what you see with like the Marvel movies, anything like that. Mm-hmm. Most of those big blockbusters that everybody goes and sees the first weekend usually have like a 50 to 65% drop. It is what it is. Top Gun Maverick held steady at I've got two numbers here, one coming from our corporate office, one coming from comingsoon.net. we're gonna go with the comingsoon.net number, which is 32%. A 32% drop is almost unheard of anymore on a major blockbuster, which is really impressive, and I think that's actually a really good sign for movie theaters going forward. We've seen a lot of the great thing about this movie is that it has brought a lot of cross-generational groups together to come see it, because I've seen young and old. I've seen the middle-aged, the Gen Xers that were, you know, teenagers when the original came out, all of that. And so yeah, so it's now sitting at It's domestic total is $291 million, and they are saying it is very possible it could join the $1 billion club, and that is without a release in China. That is not going to get because, well, it's just too American in its sentiment. So it is what it is. As for the movie itself, Trisha, you didn't see it, and that's okay. I would actually recommend the movie to you. And here's why. Story-wise, it's pretty standard. It's a, again, it's a sequel to the original. In this one, Pete Maverick Mitchell is going back to train fighter pilots at Top Gun for a special mission that they have to go on. And of course, one of those pilots is the son of his dead RIO from the first movie, Goose. His son's call sign is Rooster, and so. There's a lot of resentment between the two, not just because of that, but because of something that Maverick did fairly recently in the film's history, which I don't want to spoil anything like that. So, but there's this animosity between them. It's very much a father-son movie with somebody else filling in as the dad for Rooster, and it's Maverick. I mean, he's looking out for him the best he can while this guy is. Miles Teller's character is just holding this grudge against him. Of course, you have a whole bunch of newcomers as well. You've got Glenn Powell as a character named Hangman, who, if you're familiar with Glenn Powell and you see the guy, you just look at him and go, wow, you just look like a smug douche, but you get endeared by his character as the movie progresses. So the story, fairly standard. It's the father-son storyline. You've also got Rooster kind of overcoming his bullshit with being a pilot and being too cautious as a pilot, and his rivalry with Hangman, etc. It feels like a rehash of the original movie without being a full-blown rehash of the original movie, and I know that's part of why it works. But the one thing that really sold me on this movie as to why I actually wound up really enjoying it a lot more than I expected to, because you know me, I was not like looking forward to a Top Gun sequel. It just is what it is. What sold me on this, and I was talking to you and our boss about this the other day after he watched it, is the actual action in the movie. The fighter pilots, you know, flying, doing all the dogfighting and all that. Normally I would just go, okay, yeah, the CGI was cool, like they did a lot of cool stuff in there. Like the original movie though, they actually had the actors up in fighter jets. Cool. Now in the original, they were up in the air and they had, you know, they were two-seat planes, so you had an actual pilot flying the plane behind them while they did their scenes, blah blah blah. This go around, however, again, because Tom Cruise is a consummate professional and wants everything to be as thrilling for the audiences as he can, insisted that they actually fly these fighter jets. So, in order to do that, because the U.S. Navy, who they're renting these planes off of, isn't just going to let them get behind the get in the cockpit of an F-18, like it's just not going to happen. They actually had to go through training. So they actually had to go through this training where they started off with like Cessnas, like the little bitty, you know, puddle jumpers.
Yeah.
Work their way up to getting in those F-18s and actually go through flight training for that. So that way they got used to the Gs and all that. So what you're actually seeing in the movie is you are seeing Miles Teller, you are seeing Glenn Powell, you are seeing Tom Cruise actually flying these fighter jets. And that alone, I sat there and I went, okay, now that's really fucking cool. Cause you just don't see that in movies anymore. You don't see these actors doing a whole lot of stunt work themselves like that anymore. And so, yeah, I think on that merit alone, like I said, the movie's fine. The storyline, it's fine. You'll get endeared with the characters just like you did the first one, but based solely on the spectacle of the film, I highly recommend you go see it in theaters. Like, don't wait for it to show up on Paramount Plus. Actually, go sit in a theater. Go sit in one of these theaters that has a DTSX sound system where the audio is going to blow your fucking eardrums out. That way you feel like you're actually on the flight deck and actually going up in the air with these guys. go see it in a motion theater. Like, I think that would actually be kind of a cool way to watch it. And we haven't really been excited about MX4D in a while, because just because of how hard it hits you in the back sometimes, Matrix. So like I said, I actually wound up really enjoying the movie. I was literally on the edge of my seat the entire time. And I have people ask, well, how is it compared to the original? I'm going, it's on par. It's on par. It's you know, if you enjoyed the original is quotable. It's a classic. Like, I get it. This one I think ratchets it up as far as the actual in-flight action goes. And I think that alone makes it worth a watch. The movie is very much a crowd pleaser, and that there's nothing wrong with that. Wrong with that at all. Obviously, because it's putting asses in seats. And that's what we really wanted. This is, for being a movie that's not, it is an already established IP, but one that hasn't had a movie in 36 years. And it's not superheroes. It's not a spy franchise. It is just, it's just a good old fashioned action adventure movie, to some extent. And so, I think that's worth seeing. I think it's worth talking about. Is it real deep? Fuck no. Like, you're not, this movie is a good greasy cheeseburger of a movie. It's not a steak dinner where you're going to sit there and deconstruct everything on your plate. You're just going to engorge yourself on it. You're going to have a good time. And then when you're done, you're going to go home fat and happy. So yeah. So that's my Top Gun review. So the only other thing I've watched recently is the Bob's Burgers movie, and I'm not going to get into that because I've been binge watching the show. It's fun too. If you like the show, you'll probably enjoy the movie. I hadn't really watched the show, and I wound up enjoying the movie itself. So it's a musical. It was fun. So So that's that review. We do have to talk about, however, some other box office news that happened this past weekend, because I think it's hilarious, and I'm sure you will too. So basically, here's what I wrote down in my notes. Internet gaslight Sony on Morbius. Now, Morbius came out back in April. Did okay, didn't do so hot, kind of flopped completely.
Yes.
Apparently there's been this shows you how often I'm on the internet, because I hadn't even really seen this meme except for a couple places. Apparently a bunch of people on the internet have been going around saying, oh yeah, I was really mad when he didn't say it's Morbin time about the Morbius movie. And apparently this meme is everywhere, to the point that even Jared Leto got in on it for Sony, with showing off a fake Morbius 2 script titled Morbius 2, it's Morbin time. I'm going, oh, this isn't going to be good. Flash forward to this past weekend. Sony decided, in their infinite wisdom, and this, again, this ties back in my whole, I don't trust Sony with any comic book property. this just adds to it, right? Sony decided in their infinite wisdom that they were going to put Morbius back on 1,000 screens this past weekend.
Because they didn't learn the lesson the first time.
Sure didn't. Trisha, would you care to take a guess as to how much money Morbius made on its re-release this past weekend?
Probably very little.
Oh, just give me a number.
I don't know.
Okay, well, let me put it this way. Would you guess 7 figures?
No.
Would you guess 6 figures?
Maybe.
Would you guess 5 figures?
Possibly.
If you guess 5 figures, you be correct. Morbius, on its re-release weekend, 1,000 theaters, mind you, only made $85,000. Couldn't even crack 6 figures. Sony, sweetheart, come here. We need to have a chat, okay? Look, New Line learned their lesson back in 2006, okay? When they put out Snakes on a Plane, like, everybody was talking about Snakes on a Plane, having Samuel L. Jackson for it. Y'all, New Line Cinema turned that movie into an R-rated movie just so that way the internet curated line of I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane could be included. That movie cleared a few million, like six, I don't even think it was 16 million. It's opening weekend. It was like opened at number four. I remember.
Never saw it. And that line is the only thing I know about it. Other than actually really, Samuel Jackson is in it.
You know how much I hate snakes, and I actually really enjoy the movie. It's a wild time. It is so much fun. Yeah. New Line Cinema said, okay, yeah, we won't do that again. Warner Brothers said, no, we're good. Sony, you should have asked them, hey, this movie has a meme going on around it. Should we re-release it? I don't know who made that decision, but sir, I hope that the unemployment line is friendly to you, because if I was an executive at Sony and I was not the one who greenlit this and I was over that person, I'd probably be looking for a new job. That's how bad of a mistake that is. Do you know how bad your movie has to be in order to get a re-release and not even clear six figures?
That's sad.
Oh, that is super sad. And I know there's a few people out there that actually like enjoy the movie. Some of you unironically, and that's fine. I didn't see it. I have no plans to see it. Unlike Tom Cruise, I just absolutely despise Jared Leto, both yes. as an actor and a human being.
Correct.
He's got the twofold thing. So yes. The only movie I think I've actually liked him in was Dallas Buyers Club. Oh, lo and behold, the one he wins an Oscar for. Go figure. So beyond that, yeah, I think he's just, yeah. So, but the internet just gaslit Tony so hard, Trisha. I could not stop laughing.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to find some of the other details on here. Yeah, hold on. Okay. Let's see. Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I need to go back and reconfigure my numbers. I'm sorry. The 85,000 figure was actually just for Friday. So it was just for Friday. Over the weekend, it made 300,000. So it did clear six figures. So we can't razz it too hard. Still not in the top 10 for the box office. It's still not good. But if you look at its Friday gross of $85,000, 1,000 theaters, that is an average of $82 per theater. That's maybe a handful of tickets every day on Friday for every day. That's it. Not to mention the money put into doing that re-release and any advertising for it. You lost money on this deal.
Yep.
So, yeah. Gosh, I'm blown away. Blown away by it. But, man, internet. The internet's so amazing, Trisha, isn't it? let's talk about this. Let's look at what they've done. Obviously, like I said, we're bringing up the gaslighting Sony. We're talking about the snakes on a plane. The other big thing that the internet has done, and this is arguably probably the only good thing that in my mind they have done, is bullying Paramount into changing the Sonic the Hedgehog design for that first movie.
Yep.
That is insane. That is the top three things that the internet has done for Hollywood, two of which just completely fucked over the studios. I find it absolutely hysterical.
Yep.
So, all right. So we do have, I teased it before the break. We do have some casting news, not necessarily great news for Scream 6.
No.
I'm still looking forward to the movie. Without a doubt. The Radio Silence guys, they made a great sequel with Scream earlier this year. Obviously, they love the franchise. They know what they're doing, and they had a couple ideas going forward. And so, unfortunately, it looks like they're going to be doing it without the one and only Sidney Prescott. Nev Campbell issued a statement this past weekend. After contract negotiations with Paramount and Spyglass Media did not equate to her value as Sydney. Quote, sadly, I won't be making the next Scream film. As a woman, I have had to work extremely hard in my career to establish my value, especially when it comes to Scream. I felt the offer that was presented to me did not equate to the value I have brought to the franchise. It's been a very difficult decision to move on. To all my Scream fans, I love you. You've always been so incredibly supportive to me. I'm forever grateful to you and to what this franchise has given me over the past 25 years. I'm bummed.
Pay the woman what she's worth.
Right? Like, this
is... There is no Scream without Nev Campbell.
Yeah.
Pay the woman what she's worth. End of story.
Yeah. Now, I will say this. If you have a story idea where she is not required,
I will say at the end of that move, that last one, mm-hmm. I felt like they were kind of potentially setting it up to shift focus to the kind of the next generation.
Yeah.
So if they would have said, you know, our not even said this, not even tried to bring her back and just said our story is, you know, moving on. Mm-hmm. I would have accepted that. No problem.
Yeah.
But to hear that you're trying to underpay the person who kind of made the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So Perry Nemiroff from Collider.com she's a writer and film critic that I follow, adores the Scream franchise. Now, before this news came out, she had posted a TikTok video where she had talked about, you know, yes, I would love to see Sidney Prescott come back, blah, 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 as we all would, because, you know, you think of Scream, you do think of Sidney fucking Prescott. And if you're not thinking of them, you think of Billy Loomis and Stu Mocker. So the way she put it, if they bring her back, great. That's all well and good. I'm all mm-hmm. for it. More Sidney is never a bad thing.
Yeah.
On the opposite end of that, from a storytelling standpoint, Sidney, you kind of hinted at it earlier when we were talking about the end of Scream 5. Sydney's story there, she set a goal, she completed that goal, and she's going back to her family mm-hmm. and to be done with this, like the end. I think that is, for that character, I think it's well earned. I think it's deserved. I wish that if that's the route that they were going, it was because that's just what they decided on and not because of money. Unless they had her contracted to do another one and this is how they're working her out of it to make way for that plan, which I still think is dirty. I am still, like I said, that's a studio issue. That is a studio and production company issue. That is not on the creative talent behind the next Scream movie. Like I said, regardless of what happens here, I am in with Radio Silence. I'd love to see what they do, because the last Scream was fantastic. Ready or Not was great. Mm-hmm. They obviously know what they're doing. They love the franchise. I trust them.
Yes.
It's studio that is causing this issue. And I really hope that this gets turned around, because that's honestly the only reason that Neve Campbell has to make a statement like this.
Yeah.
Basically use the power of the fan base. So, internet.
Do your thing.
Need you to do your magic. I need you to bully Paramount a second time so that way they do the right thing and pay the woman what she's worth. So she put out that statement. David Arquette also reacted to the news and basically just said, I'd love for her to be a part of it. A Scream movie without Sydney is kind of unfortunate, but I understand her decision. It's all a business in a way. They have to balance all these elements to fit a budget and produce a film. I get it. She's still alive. She can absolutely be in future ones, but I think it's up to fans to call for that in the future. That is sudden. It's a business, though. I respect her decision for sure. What else is he going to say? He did follow up on Instagram and said, let me be clear, I support Neve Campbell and think it's a huge mistake not to have her in the new Scream. Somebody got a phone call and said, David, quit being so politically correct. Just
say what you think.
you're not in the franchise anymore. Like, you can say something. Spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the new Scream, go check it out. I hate when, especially after the last year or two where we've had the Scarlett Johansson situation with Marvel and Disney, a lot of people with Disney and all that.
It's funny because we were just talking yesterday. Megan has been watching Teen Wolf, which mm-hmm. I've watched. I love that show. Not a good show, but I enjoy the show. Sure. Well, they just finished filming a movie, like a reunion sequel kind of movie. Well, when they started making announcements for casting, Arden Joe, whose character came in season 3 and was in 3, 4, and 5, who is Asian, came out and said that she would not be in it because she was offered half of what her other female co-stars were offered. And so she said no, she walked away.
Yeah.
And people were like, excuse me, what? And not only that, someone tweeted about it and made a comment about the tweeted the story and then goes, Arden said, nah. Dylan O'Brien liked that tweet. Mm-hmm. And that kind of spurred the fan base to be like, even Dylan is saying this is not okay.
Yeah.
Dylan O'Brien, after that, announced that he was not coming back. Now, he said it was due to scheduling and he liked the way that Styles' ending worked out, blah, blah, blah. But like, there's always, because of that liked tweet, people are always like, how much did their decision to offer one of his female co-stars so little play into his decision to not try and make it work? We don't know for sure, but there's always that question. But yeah, like, she was offered half of what her co-stars were offered.
Yeah.
That's messed up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not.
It seems to be a trend lately and it's not okay.
No, it's not. And, you know, for actors, male and female, it doesn't matter on the gender. Yes, there is that pay gap. And I guarantee you that's probably part of it to some extent here. I think with Neve Campbell's situation, it's more of a, we've got all this young, new, fresh talent that we're having take over the franchise and they don't cost as much. And so, which again, it is a business. But she has become an icon for that franchise.
Yeah.
That I don't think it's right to do it. Now, like I said, whatever they decide to do on the creative side of it, cool. Let's do it. Like, let's see what you got. But studio wise, I think they need to correct course, especially after, like I said, Scarlett Johansson had her lawsuit last year with Marvel and Disney over lost box office receipts because of the day and date streaming with Black Widow, and, you know, which sent them into arbitration with The Rock and Emily Blunt for Jungle Cruise and a lot of these other films.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem right that you don't want to pay your legacy talent to come in. I can't fathom it. So
yeah,
it sucks. It is what it is. Like I said, hopefully they get it rectified. Sorry, I was just thinking of another one where this just happened. Hulu is doing a Futurama reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And so John DiMaggio, who voices Bender on there, originally was not going to come back because I can't remember his exact wording, but he did not feel that the entire voice cast was going to be compensated enough or well enough for their talents, and for bringing back their iconic characters, especially his.
Yeah.
He wound up going ahead and signing back on. So everybody's excited, right? That he must have got what he wanted, blah, blah, blah. He came out a few weeks ago and said, no, I didn't. I signed back on because I love doing the voice of Bender. And I acknowledge that this is an uphill battle.
Yeah.
So, so the mouse won in that instance. And I'm going, well, that's not right either. Like, that really sucks.
Yeah. Like,
people are having to choose between doing characters that they love or getting a proper paycheck.
Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, so Hollywood, studios, Disney, Paramount, whoever, fucking do better.
Yeah.
For its sake. Like, those people put asses in seats. People, yep. They put people in front of their TV screens to watch those shows. Like, pay them. Pay them what they're worth and be done with it. And I'm not sitting here saying, oh, boo-hoo for a millionaire, billionaire, whatever. I'm not. But those people, that is their living and should be compensated as such. You don't do a job for less than what you're worth.
Exactly.
We wouldn't tell you to do that as a plumber or any other profession. Let's not do it here. So, All right. So, last bit of, oh, and then Dermot Mulroney has also been cast in the new Scream movie. I don't know who he's going to be playing. Probably a cop. So anyway, that was the only other casting news there. And I'm going, well, it's coming out at the same time as this other thing. And this other thing is way more important. So, all right. So we got two more pieces of news-ish things. The first one up, 2019's Joker is getting a sequel. They had already announced that back after the first one hit $1 billion. Fine, cool, whatever. I still didn't care for the movie. However, this made me laugh this week. We have a title for the sequel, which was revealed by Todd Phillips, who had a copy of the script with the title on it. It is Joker Folly Adieu. Also known as, you know, Shared Madness or The Folly of Two, if you want a literal translation of it. Everybody's speculating what it's about. I personally don't care. I know there's a lot of you that are listening going, well, how could you not? Why are you even bringing it up? The only reason I'm bringing it up because of one comment that made me cackle. Thanks, Internet. Internet's just on fire this week, by the way. I texted to you. Mm-hmm. So I'm on Reddit. I don't know the person's username. I'm just remembering the comment off the top of my head. And the comment was, damn, they got Fall Out Boy to do the soundtrack? First off, that's fucking funny. Secondly, Folly Ado is my favorite Fall Out Boy album. So,
and it's also funny because it's their least popular album.
Right. So, and I'm sitting there going, yeah, that's even better. And so, yeah. Yeah, I could honestly care less. Like, I don't know, I don't know what a Joker sequel would have to offer. You know, unless you're flash forwarding to Bruce Wayne being Batman and that's how the story takes off. But like,
yeah,
I'm not interested in that either. And I don't know how you conned Joaquin Phoenix into signing up for this again, since he only does projects that he's like truly, you know, invested in.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not just about money with him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whatever. Like I said, I only brought it up just to get that joke out there. Because I was like, damn it, that's funny. Made me laugh. So, the other piece of news, though, this one I think you would be excited about. It's not really news, but it is speculation. And it's coming from the man himself. Pedro Pascal apparently thinks that while he was speaking at Star Wars Celebration this past weekend, or last weekend, a Mandalorian movie seems inevitable. He was asked on whether or not fans can expect to see the Mandalorian on the big screen. He clarified he has no information on whether a film will happen. He does believe it's inevitable. He quote, "Don't you think it's inevitable? I truly have no idea, but that would be a dream come true," said Pedro Pascal. "Not that any more dreams could possibly come true. Maybe I've had my fill."
I love Pedro Pascal.
I do too. So I was actually talking to my uncle about this because we're watching the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. And we're talking, you know, various things. Basically, for me, what it boils down to, yes, I love having so much new Star Wars content. I really do. Regardless of shitbags in the fan base. And it's not just our fan base. It's just they're the most toxic.
Yeah,
and vocal ones, and it's always that small dipshit minority that makes the rest of us look bad. So fuck them. I'm just happy to get new Star Wars content, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Be it on the small screen or the big screen. That being said, I do want more big screen content, because much like Top Gun, I am there for Star Wars for the spectacle.
Yeah.
And if you want to give me a Mandalorian movie, sign me up. Hell yeah, let's go. Like, go big or go home. Like, yeah. So I don't know that I would call it inevitable. I don't know. What do you think of that?
I feel like inevitable is a strong word, but I wouldn't be surprised with how popular that show was.
Yeah.
If they're like, yeah, let's bring them to the big screen.
Yeah. So and honestly, I wouldn't mind if they brought him into some other project. Maybe not as a main character, but kind of connecting tissue. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's not official yet, but I did find it interesting that he was, it sounds like he's definitely on board for one if they want to do it. So that being said, with any new Star Wars movies actually hitting the big screen, the next one that we can expect is coming late 2023. And it is not the Rogue One project. It's not the Rian Johnson trilogy. That's actually been put on the back burner. This is Taika Waititi's Star Wars project. And after the Thor movies, I'm pretty stoked. So
yeah, same.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, do you have any other news you wanted to add this week?
Nope.
Cool. Well, we're going to go ahead and call it a day then. Make sure you follow us on Twitter @drunk_theater. You can always hit us up there. And that's going to do it for us this week. So for all of us here at My Drunk Movie Theater, I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
Be nice to your damn movie staff.